La maudite des vieux chauds.
I have seen the dark shadows moving in the woods, and I have no doubt that whatever I have resurrected through this book is sure to come calling for me.
David, you look absolutely terrific, honestly. You've got like glue on.
This is where the worst begins. This is where we must stop. For beyond is the work of madness. The nightmare of insane murder and lingering death. Get inside and lock your doors. Close your windows. Someone is watching you. Someone is waiting for you. Someone wants to scare you to death.
This is Albert from the Tuesday Show. You're listening to the goddamn Dave Hill Show, now on a flipping Monday.
We did it. Oh, wait, where's Dave?
He didn't make it.
He was here.
Guess we'll have to go back to talking Star Wars.
Okay. How are you, Jez?
I'm doing great, Chris. Good to see you.
How are things?
I don't understand how computers work.
Oh, there you go.
There we go. Oh, God. I just blacked out. I always think he's going to keep ripping longer solos in the song Angel Witch by the band Angel Witch from the album. Let me check here. Yep, it's called Angel Witch. It checks out. It's called Angel Witch.
I thought.
When the solo starts, I always think that it's going to keep just ripping and ripping and ripping. And then it fades out. And then I have to figure out how to use my computer again. Anyway, why? I can't hear very... Oh, I know why it is. It's because I'm wearing a winter hat.
There you go.
It's really cold here in exile. How's everybody doing? Thank you for joining us. Hello, Dez.
How are you?
Hello, Chris.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm doing pretty well. We were talking about this right before the
show prep.
We hit the button that starts the show, whatever that's called. The excitement of last week has died down. Everyone I'm talking to has sort of dipped back down into a funk.
Hangover.
Maybe that is it. A hangover, you think? Like we got so excited.
I bruised my back of my foot jumping around when Biden won.
Nice.
And it's like bruised badly.
How did you bruise it?
I was jumping around my living room and then I banged it. We have like this big chest that we use as like a coffee table. And it just banged right into it.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Get well soon. I speak on behalf of our global audience, Chris Gersbeck.
I'll live.
Boy criminal. I watched a video a few days ago of Sebastian Bach, the former singer of Skid Row. He was lying in bed or something, and he got the news, and he started crying.
Wow.
He's a Trump supporter?
No. Oh, no. I should have been clear. No, he's a vocal...
Oh, okay, good.
Anti-Trump, pro-Biden rocker.
Some people surprised me. Like celebrities that I didn't know had gone that way. Maria Bartiromo. I didn't know that she was...
Who?
Maria Bartiromo.
Who's that?
She was like a business reporter for 20 years. Joey Ramone wrote a song about her.
Joey Ramone wrote a song about a business reporter? How? What?
Apparently when he was in the hospital, he used to watch her all the time.
Wow, and she's a Trump supporter?
She's having Giuliani on for interviews. She's validating his bullshit.
She's always she's always been on the right. She bought it. Kevin Sorbo, her, TV's Hercules. He's a big Trump guy.
James Woods.
Another one. Yeah.
James Woods. But James Woods has
he's always been a dick.
Yeah.
But wait, what is I can't even remember why we know who James Woods is.
He did movies.
He was in a Simpsons episode. I mean, that's how I first found out who James Woods was.
Salvador was a good movie, an Oliver Stone movie. Early 80s.
But has he acted in the last 20 years?
He was on Ray Donovan for a season or two, a few episodes maybe.
And Tim Allen's a big Trumper.
Yeah.
Devastating. Excellent. Sorry, so great. Sorry to lose him. I don't know why I said so great. I can't even think straight. I'm just.
There's someone else too that I just found out. I can't remember now. It was very disappointing. Yeah, it wasn't disappointing. You know that guy Alan Covert who's in all those Adam Sandler movies? So he's like the guy who's in every Adam Sandler movie.
He was getting into it with Andy Kindler, I saw.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, you don't want to get into it with Andy. Andy, if you're on Andy Kindler's Andy Kindler, one of the greatest comedians of all time, in my opinion.
We have to have him on here. So.
We do. You don't want to. If you're on his bad side, it's over. But because Andy will destroy you. But also, if you're on Andy's bad side, you're on the wrong side of history.
Yeah.
What happened? He got on Andy's case because Andy was proud that he achieved. Did he get a black belt or?
So no. So apparently, this is how the story goes: is that like 15 years ago, Andy Kindler mocked some Adam Sandler movie at during a stand-up set. And this Alan Carver guy like cornered him and got in his face and like scared the shit out of him. Apparently he started taking martial arts after that.
Okay. Andy Kindler is a black belt?
Yeah. Taekwondo, apparently. I had no idea.
Wait, how long has this been? How do I not know this?
That you don't know have the skill.
15 years.
I didn't know that. That can't be true. He doesn't strike me as...
I think it is. Anyway, this guy was like mocking him. He's like, "Oh, I scared you so much, and you took martial arts. What a loser!" It's like, okay,
wow.
I didn't know who the other guy was till today.
But Andy, though, when Andy mocks something on stage, I rarely say this about anybody. But you know, he's the guy. He says what we're all thinking. Like,
yeah.
If he shits on something, you're like, I wouldn't have said that out loud, but I'm glad he did.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Have you ever seen like his, I can't even remember what it's called, what was it called, but it was like his guide to comedy or whatever, how to do comedy.
Mm-mm.
Something, god, what, no, that's not what it was called, but it was amazing. Like everything Andy Kindler does, it was amazing. Anyway, well, yes, we do have to get him. He's one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
He's always one of those guys when I'm like, of course, Andy Kindler, one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah. No brainer.
He's super underrated. He should be playing stadiums, but the world is not, we don't live in a meritocracy.
No.
Maybe on the other side of this, it won't happen, but on the other side of the pandemic, what if everyone's just like only into good shit? No more bullshit. I could be in big trouble. I could be in big, big trouble. Because people are like, we're not taking any more of your bullshit, Dave.
Yeah.
You can sit the fuck down. Anyway, I digress. We have an incredible program tonight. Mr. Adam Wade, storyteller, comedian, the pride of Hoboken, or one of them, certainly. Not to take anything away from the great Bill Dolan. We should get a summit on the other side of the pandemic. A summit between Bill Dolan
and Adam Wade.
And Adam Wade, two titans of Hoboken. Two of my favorite Hobokenites of the four that I know. I think everyone I know that lives in Hoboken I love.
For those that don't around the country and world that don't know Hoboken, it's tiny little town, but it's undergone a great transformation in the last 20 years. I remember it was just a big parking lot it had a great scene, but it's so overpriced and you know, 21st century yuppified. It's bad now. Nobody. There's
so you're saying in the last 20 years is when it's because it, yeah, so 20 years ago it was good and now.
Oh yeah, it peaked long ago for the people that we're talking about. Hoboken today is not
like when Maxwell's was the place.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Maxwell's. I played at Maxwell's. I used to go to Maxwell's.
I used to go there a lot. It's a great
band. I saw a lot of great bands there.
Yeah.
Ate some nice meals there. They had a great jukebox. I went to see Dinosaur Jr. at Maxwell's once.
Fantastic. And
Kim Gordon from Sonic Youth was standing next to me. And just to have an excuse to interact with her, I said, "Hey, do you know when Dinosaur Jr. is going on?" And she said, "Soon," or something like that. I asked her the most obvious question.
Yeah,
it was like the opening band, I can't remember who it was, finished, and then they were going on. I said, "Hey, do you know when they're going on?" That was
Kim Gordon's the kind of celebrity I'd be so scared to approach out of fear of just getting a one word response like that.
In my experience, that's probably what'll happen.
Yeah.
I've interacted with her a few times, and that's pretty much what it's been like.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that in a negative way.
Yeah, no, it's.
I did a show with her at Littlefield once. The night a homeless man threw a bottle of urine on me.
Wow,
big night.
I was later doing a show at Littlefield with her. And then I met her another time. She's very nice. But all by way of saying, that time I asked her when Dinosaur Jr. was going on was probably, I peaked then.
It's hard to follow.
You know, I'm a shy type.
Yeah.
I'm not too chatty.
I got chatty for you.
What's that?
I got chatty for you. Jimmy from Carney's on the phone.
The number, of course, is 347-474-0260. Or just if you want to join us via Zoom, the Zoom link is there in the YouTube description. So many ways. If you can possibly top my powerful anecdotes of interacting with Kim Gordon, I dare you. Those are moth-worthy stories.
We should get people to call in with their awkward celebrity encounters. Those are always fun.
I welcome that. Anyone who has a great awkward celebrity encounter, or even an incredible one.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get Jimmy in here.
Jimmy, you there?
Yeah. Hey, Dez.
Hey, man.
Hey, Dave. How are you, man?
I'm really great. Great to hear your voice.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hey, Jimmy, I'm great. How are you?
Cool.
What are you in Kearney as we speak?
Thing. I saw that picture you had with that the Mandalorian thing.
Oh, the Baby Yoda.
It was pretty cute, pretty cool. Yeah.
You watching the show, Jimmy?
I'm sorry, Dave. No, I'm not hip. I don't have a television too, so.
You don't have a television?
I'll get one. What?
You don't have a television?
No, I haven't had a television. They pulled my cable in April of 2013.
That's a good run.
And I never really got traction going again.
It's just so.
You're not missing.
I read a lot. When I had my nervous breakdown, I was reading like 3 novels a week. I was just going to AA meetings, coming home at 8 o'clock, and then just like breaking open the Brothers Karamazov and all kinds of Dostoevsky that I hadn't read yet or that I had read, and soup to nuts. I mean, not just Russian literature, but all kinds of stuff. Some I had read, and I was rereading maybe for the third time, and other stuff I read. My buddy from Rutgers started sending me stuff to keep me occupied. He knew I was like severely depressed, so he helped jumpstart me a little bit back towards a slow, not steady, but slow, somewhat of a recovery. So
there's a discipline in reading, for sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that's,
but
that's
I wish though that I could get more hooked into like cultural references by watching TV, and there is so much.
Oh,
we're
like
still sort of in the golden age of scripted TV, I personally think.
You mean like when someone says like what you're talking about, Willis, you wish you would know what they meant?
Whoa. Well, then it was more ubiquitous because we had so few channels.
You raised a good
point. I mean, even when, like, I think that the first cable box I had in like 79 or 80 when cable came to Kearney.
Cable,
I had like 36 channels.
You make it sound like there was just one truck that pulled into town.
Like
that had all the
No. There really was really
and little children chased.
Yeah,
after
I went
it.
To. I think I went to my uncle's in Lake Apacon, and he had this little. I don't know how old I was. I must have been 12, 13, and he had this little like pamphlet HBO, and I had never heard of it. And it took us like another 7-8 years to get it in my town. But it was one of those things, though, like they linked it up and like anybody who could afford it was anyone whose parents could afford it were all hooked up and stuff. So
the sweet life.
And of course, I discovered some interesting stuff, like they had a Chicago channel that would show a lot of David Mamet. Early plays like Bleacher Bums and a couple of other different things.
Hey, Jimmy,
but those are the golden years.
Jimmy, I don't want to. I do not want to interrupt you here. But
No.
I do this
sorry,
all
I'm
the time.
Babbling.
I do this all the time.
Babbling like a moron as usual.
Every time, whenever you call, I can't help but think. You know, well, as anyone who's watched, listened, or whatever. Any version of this show over the years is well aware you have the voice of an angel. And it just, as I'm hearing you talk, it just seems to me like it would be a shame. Well, we got you on the line, and I apologize for interrupting the story, but it was,
no, I don't apologize.
As long as we got you,
it
seems crazy not to at least get a few bars of something out of you while we got you on. Is there any chance you'd be willing?
Hey, I really didn't think this through, but I'll try to think of something. And I don't want to take up time because you got a great guest, and other people are definitely stand up people. But okay, let me think.
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to put the phone out a little bit. Just got home from Illinois, locked the front door, oh boy. Got to sit down, take a rest on the porch. Imagination sets in, pretty soon I'm saying.
Wait, what happened?
That was my fault. I got carried away. I wanted to turn him up, but I think I turned him off.
I was really into that.
That was good. He was in
Jimmy,
the on it.
I really apologize, Jimmy, if you're still out there, if you can hear me. I don't know. We're still working on upgrading the phone system here. So, but gosh, when he was up on that wave, we were all up on that wave. I think, you know, if I can speak for our literally millions of listeners. I believe we have a Zoom call. I have a feeling what it will entail.
Mm-hmm. This is interesting because he sent me a pretty graphic picture explaining why he couldn't join in the show tonight. So I'm curious to see.
Well, he isn't joining from, where is he?
Here he
there he is. We have him.
Call.
We have another call.
Yeah, it's Matt from Iowa City. He's got a
we'll hold it. Let's see if we can get. I don't know if our Zoom call is working here.
Hey, Elvira.
Elvira Canaveral from Minneapolis.
At a different angle.
It's not working for some reason. Oh, there he is.
There he goes.
Are you there, Elvira Canaveral? Long.
I apologize if you can hear yourself through my computer. It's
So you're good.
There you go. I had a diabetic fit last Thursday, and I severely bit my tongue.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I've never had one before, and I guess I one minute I'm eating pizza, the next minute I'm waking up inside a hospital, inside an ambulance, and apparently what happened was I had a diabetic fit while I was eating, and then my wife said I just fell to the floor, vomited. She turned me on my side so I wouldn't choke on it, and the ambulance was there within like 3 minutes. It's one of the advantages of living so close to a hospital.
I'll take it. Well, I presume you're doing all right now.
I hope so. Apart from severe tongue pain.
Tongue pain is like the worst.
Yeah, it's just constant. I was trying to eat like a cup of noodles earlier, and it was just pain. So, but it is what it is. I'm getting by, and I just wanted to drop in and say hi and tell you fine folks that I really appreciate all that you do for us.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
And I had a quick question, because I've seen you just shred guitar like a mother. And I'm wondering, are you aware, or do you know if you enter into flow state when you play? Do you play beyond your thought?
I don't think about it at all.
And how long did it take you to go from...
I just black out.
...to becoming a master of flow?
As soon as we got home from the guitar store.
That's beautiful, man. I just want to say, it's one of those things that once, I think it's the reason that people would like follow the dead, is because when you see a musician perform, you see them in a state of flow. And if you have any sense of state of flow, you get kind of a secondhand flow high from it. And when you can see an entire band perform, it's even all the easier to kind of get caught up in that moment and feel the flow. Plus, hallucinogenics help.
This is true. I think you're right about all those things. We have our guests coming on in a couple minutes here, so we want to.
All right, I'm going to let your fine folks go. I'm going to send you guys a kind of a care package. Each including some total landscape, Four Seasons total landscaping gear.
Finally. As well
as a couple of my comic book pinball books. I got one where excellent. I explain the philosophy of Bruce Lee, but apply it to pinball.
Wow. Excellent. Well, thank you, Elvira Canaveral.
Right. I'll talk to you guys later. You guys keep
up the good work. And glad you're doing better.
Feel better.
Yeah, thank feel you. Better. We have... We have a caller. Yeah, let's get. But we got to grab. We have Stephen Radford. We lost him. Failed. From England. Where Stephen? Come back. I was literally just clicking to put you on. He's all the way in England. Come back, Stephen Radford. We have a phone call.
Yeah, it's Matt from Iowa. He's got an embarrassing story, or awkward story.
Let's Matt, go. There?
I'm there.
Hey, man.
So Adam Wade will probably be able to tell a better story than me, so I'll just give you the highlights. But this was back when, it's probably about 10 years ago, Grant Hart was still alive, and he was playing a show in Iowa City. And my wife and I are out to eat, and I see Grant walk by eating a giant ice cream cone. So I run out of the restaurant to go say hi to him, just let him know that he's been a huge influence. We end up having a really nice conversation, and then I let him know that I'm trying to excuse myself from the conversation because my wife is still inside the restaurant. And he said, "Oh, I'll just come in and join you guys." And he still has this giant ice cream cone, and we're at kind of a fancy restaurant. And so he just sits down and he's eating an ice cream cone with us as we're going deep. I'm asking all these weird questions about Who Screwed Who stuff, like trivial things that he got really excited to talk about. But then he found out that my wife used to be a French teacher, so they end up spending more time speaking in French while I'm there. And then when we finish our dinner, and then we're talking to him, and we said we're actually going to another show. I knew his was later, but he goes, "Oh man, I just forgot. I was supposed to be at soundcheck."
Man, oh man, that's excellent. But, did you ever see that Grant Hart documentary?
I can't remember what it was called. I loved it.
It was really good. It really I learned quite a bit about him. After having only just kind of seen him perform over the years.
And encounters with him, I've heard, can be like, he can be really gruff or he can be a sweetheart, and he was just an absolute sweetheart. But I was not expecting him to follow me back in a restaurant with an ice cream cone. And
no, who could have possibly seen that coming?
So that's it needs polishing, but that was my awkward story about like almost trying to get out of the social contract of a conversation I initiated because the anxiety of my wife being left alone in a restaurant was eating at me.
That's amazing. Well, you'll have that story forever.
That's right.
My favorite part is the ice cream cone.
I talked to Bob Mould once, and we exchanged ideas about phone cases. The only thing we talked about was we talked about each other's iPhone cases.
Just a regular guy.
I like that. That's classic. I've not heard of Bob Mould's story that did not involve a phone case discussion, I have to be honest.
So there you go. Guys. Have a good one. Love you guys. Have a good night.
Take care. Thank you, Matt.
Congratulations. You've won a ticket to attend an exclusive opportunity in a relaxing environment with two lovers.
Wow. Well, this sounds like a sort of proposition of sorts, but really it's an ad for our podcast. Wonderful. It's a show we do here on Maximum Fun where we talk about things that we like and things that we're into.
I'm Rachel McElroy, and you just heard Griffin McElroy, and we are excited for you to join us as we talk about movies and music and books.
Things like sneezing or the idea of rain.
Can you get news or information you can use?
Absolutely, you cannot, because we're here to talk to you about pumpernickel bread.
You can find new episodes on Wednesdays.
So catch the wave.
I can remember as a child thinking it was odd that here was this can full of meat.
I'm Jesse Thorne. This week on my show Bullseye, David Letterman on shame, regret, and canned hams.
Is this the best delivery version of pork?
That's this week on Bullseye for MaximumFun.org and NPR.
We had some Zoom calls to grab, but we lost them. But it's okay, because it's perfect timing to now our guest of honor, the pride of Hoboken, New Jersey. Wait, there he is. There he is, Mr. Adam Wade. First of all, welcome.
Yeah, it's an honor to be here. I just wanted to start one of my favorite shows of all time in 26 years of performing was in Brattleboro, Vermont with Dave Hill. So I brought my Brattleboro Diner mug that I didn't steal it, but someone else did for me. But I have it.
You got that mug? What was that?
Was that me, Chris?
I think that's Dez with his wacky sound effects.
Sorry, that was my fault.
That was his air horn sound.
Yeah. Apologize.
This is really, things are heating up.
So I brought the mug. A friend of mine found it, I don't know how to, he stole it. He stole it for me.
So it wasn't like someone with the show that we did didn't steal it.
No, it was after. I went back up and they stole a mug for me.
Nice.
But I wanted to know.
Yeah, that was fun. It was me, you, Brian Babylon, Ophira Eisenberg, and that's all I can remember
Pop tire to the car.
There was a caper on the way. If you can call Car Trouble a caper, which I choose to. Brad, I think somehow we were just talking about this. Maybe it was the last time I spoke about this with you. But my memory, I remember having a lovely time in Brattleboro. And we were in this hotel. And as I often do when I get in a town, and I see a massage parlor, I start to wonder about that place. And there was a massage parlor right out my window. I could see it. And I said, I better read some Yelp reviews on this place to determine what's. And sure enough, they were up to no good or all sorts of good.
Yeah,
depending on how you look at it.
True.
But I get suspicious.
Yeah.
That's just among my memories of the lovely time we had there with the Yelp reviews. I'd love to read Yelp reviews.
It's great. It's great seeing you, Dave. You look good. How are things going? Right? You're doing good.
Oh, thank you. You look great. I'm doing okay. We were just talking a few minutes ago before you came on that about how. There was initial a buoyancy, I'll call it, knowing that Trump was out, and then return to being deflated again this week.
Yeah,
but
yeah, a little going down, a little down. Yeah, it was up and down. Yeah,
like everyone should have gotten a bag of popcorn or something to keep this going, keep this high going.
Yeah, I agree.
How are you doing, Adam Wade?
Yeah, good. I mean, I had chicken parm tonight from Trader Joe's. I put it in the oven for like 45 minutes. It came out good. Did a good job.
Oh, there's a Trader Joe's out there in Hoboken?
Yeah, they put one in like a year and a half ago, so yeah.
Oh, nice. So the chicken parm at Trader Joe's, How does that work?
It's like cooked pretty much, but then they say it's it doesn't expire till like end of November. So I don't know how, but you just put it in your oven, and I put it in for, it says 25 minutes. I put it in for like 45, but I put the temperature a little lower just to let it cook nice around.
Let it steep a little bit. Because I was afraid you're gonna have some dry chicken.
It was a little dry. I should have I should have just followed the directions.
Now you're is it your landlord or that is no slouch in the kitchen herself?
Yeah, she cooks me meatballs a lot. Yeah, they're good.
How and she's a woman of a certain age. She's an older woman.
She's a senior.
Yeah. Now as the cooking. Ramped up or slowed down during the pandemic?
It's pretty much stayed the same. It's just not, I can't eat 50 meatballs a weekend. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of meat. If you're around the Hoboken area, let me know. I got half of my freezer is meatballs right now.
Oh, so yeah, because you can't refuse. If an elderly woman shows up at your door, is that what happens? There's just a knock at the door.
Yeah, she's like, she's right down here.
Oh, you can't talk too loud.
She'll yell. She's like, Adam, and I'm like, yeah, what's up? She's like, you want some meatballs? I'm like, yeah. I'll be like cooking fish or something. I just throw out the window. And I'm like,
meatballs. That's amazing. Oh, that sounds. So you can't refuse them. So you have to freeze them sometimes.
I'm freezing them. So I got a lot of meatballs right now. I got about 40, 50 meatballs.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I got a lot. They're little ones, but I mean, it's like a lot. Yeah.
It all adds up. Anyways, doesn't matter the size.
Yeah.
Any size meatball when you have 40 or 50. That's a lot
of meatballs. I'm not a big, you know me, Dave. I'm not like a big guy. I can't like.
No.
It's not like 4th of July and I'm going to eat 40 meatballs and break a record.
No, but now you've got me thinking. It's just around the corner. It'll be 4th of July before we know it. Dez and Chris, should we Let's open up the phone lines in case anyone wants to interject.
It's good to see you both, too, Des and Chris. It's great.
Hey, Adam, good to meet you.
Too, yeah.
Now, Adam, we were talking. I feel like you. There's I basically between you and our friend Bill Dolan, I'd say equally the pride of Hoboken.
Yeah. Hoboken.
You guys hang out?
I don't with Bill. No, I don't even know if I know Bill.
Oh, okay.
You'd probably know
him. If I saw him.
You'd probably know him from the local game recognized game type look that you'd get there on, you know, Washington.
Can I FaceTime him right now and just see?
Yeah. Right. Bill Dolan, I don't know if he's listening, watching. Cool. He could zoom in, or if anyone wants to call 347.
D-O-L.
A-N.
Wow.
Are you looking in the Hoboken Badasses directory or something?
It might not be in here.
There's a booklet. It's like six guys.
Oh, is it? Bill. He's good.
What, do you honestly
have an older guy? It looks like an elf.
I'm thinking about it. Huh.
Does he work for help out with the Salvation Army?
I mean, maybe. He might, now that I'm thinking about it.
Might hang around the Salvation Army.
Perhaps. This has got me thinking.
Man.
Might not be him.
I don't know. I feel like we would have heard from him.
Is he friends with Barbara O'Connor?
Yes, this checks out. Now, where are you? What are you consulting for this information?
Just like the Facebook search.
Oh, okay. I thought there was some sort of cool thing going on, like a Hoboken directory of sorts.
Call my buddy Cheech and we'll get it done.
Yeah, get it done. Now, what's the scene? Paint me a picture with words. What's the scene? I spoke to you earlier in the pandemic.
Yeah.
And we had an update about Hoboken. And what's the scene like out there now?
I'd say it's about 65 to 70% of people wearing masks. A lot of
stepped up a little bit from earlier reports.
But from like 30%. A lot of men with girth running without masks. So men that should be speed walking at best. Are running in Hoboken and they are just spewing stuff out of their mouth. Without a mask. So not nice.
Oh, that's what are they? They're trying to get in really great shape for.
Watch your calories and walk.
That's exactly right.
So I don't like that. And I wear my masks. I do a good job. I got masks. I got I made masks. I've showed you in the past. I got my masks, like the insides. Still wear these.
Are those made out of sweatpants?
That's a good idea. Cozy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was like a gray. Yeah, it was like a gray pair of pants.
I love that. I mean, I have my concerns.
They're washed. I washed them. It's not like I wear them.
Yeah, no, I know. So I still have some mild concerns, but it's a handsome mask. I'll give you that.
Makes you want to do push-ups.
Yeah. It makes me want to spring into action. How many of those masks did you make?
I think I made about like 25, 30 masks.
Out of one pair of sweatpants?
I bought a couple pair.
Wait, so you bought sweatpants to
just
make
to cut them up? Did you buy them new?
Yeah. I thought at first you didn't know what kind of fabric, and I thought like they'd soft, so I bought a bunch of sweatpants. And I mean,
where did you buy the sweatpants? Were they new when you bought them, or did they used?
I got them like on a website. Sweatpants.
Sweatpants.com. Sweatpants website.
The Amazon of sweatpants.
I have so many follow-up questions. And then are they lined? It looked like the mask was lined.
Like a liner, like a t-shirt inside. But
it's just too much.
Like I run out of sew, so I got like the little dots from a magic marker. But then I put them on, and I'd have like dots on my face. It was like,
oh man,
the girls at the nail salon that I walked by, they like they were calling me Freckles.
It's a lot of mishaps you've had with these masks.
Yeah, way more. I just stopped doing the masks.
What did you do with it? Then did you like give the masks out to people or something?
A few people asked for them. They didn't ask it. I go, if you want them to get any more, just let me know. Some guy, like, again, nothing for nothing. I'm not going to mention names. I gave a mask to one guy, and I overheard him tell another person that he was using it. It was like a dust rag or something. It's not like, I mean, just give it back. I mean, I'll wear it.
Yeah. Who was it?
Wait, yeah. Who ratted out on this person that was using your mask
His name was Chris.
Chris Gers. I'm enraged.
Yeah, not a
one of our own.
Yeah.
I would never do that. That's
not that Chris. No, this is a good. Oh. Chris would never. You'd never dust with my masks.
That's the hope.
Never dust.
Yeah.
Is that the equivalent of like using somebody, your friend's CD for a coaster, something like that? Basically.
Oh my gosh! I think every album I've ever recorded has wound up a coaster somewhere.
Is that a compliment though? If they're using, because they see it all the time, right?
Yeah, I'll take it. Whatever. Once people.
Depends what side it's facing.
Depends how you look at it, yeah.
Dave, ask me if I use a CD as one of those ask.
Adam, do you use CDs as a coaster?
One, yes, I do.
What one?
Darkness on the Edge of Town. I use that.
Oh, shots fired at Bruce Spring. You're anti-Springsteen?
No, I like, but I use it. It's almost like a good. I thought that's like a good thing. Yeah, I use it.
Oh yeah, but do you like that album?
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't listen. I guess you don't listen to it on CD.
Yeah, no, listen. Well, if I want to, I can just. Oh, but it's right there.
At one point, they're obsolete now. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's almost like a good thing, Dave. Like if I'm going to listen to any CD that I have. I'm not going to go into that big jacket that I have full of CDs. I'm going to reach for that one, pop it open, put it in. So you're in good shape.
Wait, so you use the case as the coaster, not the CD itself?
Oh, no, not the CD itself, no.
Oh, okay. I'm feeling much better about this.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Oh, yeah, I don't use the actual, I use the actual, plastic.
You can't use. I mean, I could, Springsteen, maybe Bon Jovi.
That is a good.
Is there reverence to Bon Jovi in New Jersey?
Not really. Like maybe in one area around his high school, it's still like pure and true. But I think beyond that, he's very Philadelphia now. So,
what do you mean by that?
Got that soul restaurant, and then he hangs out all the time with the owner of the Patriots. So he's very loose with his New Jersey affiliation at this point.
Wait, he has a soul restaurant. What is a soul restaurant?
He's got this soul food restaurant.
It's soul food. Okay.
Yeah.
That was like a soul music restaurant. I mean, either way I'm in, it sounds good. Any way you slice it. He has a restaurant in Philadelphia?
Yeah, it's kind of like a charity type of thing. You name your own price, and I'll look up more on it.
Everything I'm hearing about this, Bon Jovi seems like a good fella.
He's the tax write-off kind of guy, though.
He
does all these things.
I can't believe you're taking shots at Bon Jovi.
I'm never a fan.
Man, oh man.
Is Richie Sambora even with the band anymore?
No, he's out.
Oh, God.
He's out.
How about Tico Torres?
Tico's in.
Who's the first one to go? Oh, no, you're Tico? Right. I was thinking of the other guy.
Alec John Such, the bass player.
The only reason why I know Tico Torres, One of the few magazines I've ever had a subscription to was Modern Drummer, and Tico Torres was on the cover.
So, oh, really? You know, you're a drummer?
I to an extent.
I mean,
I had like a drum set, and yeah, I'll send you some videos.
Do you have the kit set up in your apartment now?
Not anymore. I got my sticks though.
Because I mean, I think if you're at the point where you have a subscription to Modern Drummer, that seems pretty serious.
Yeah, I was serious at the time. I just didn't have much rhythm. I mean, not like the joke, but I didn't. I loved playing, but I just was never on. Actually, though, eighth grade, I was the head of the percussion section of the Hillside Junior High school band. But that's not a joke.
Well, that's pretty. You got to be pretty good. Now, where? Wait, I'm getting intel. Live intel. Please hold. This is the excitement of doing the show live, even though it's
there is, it is, 45 has minutes. It has an edge.
It has an edge. It's just the wheel could come off any second. Okay, John Bon Jovi's restaurant is called Soul Kitchen. It's in Red Bank. Red Bank, New Jersey, home of Monster Magnet.
I was thinking of the Philadelphia Soul Arena League football, I think.
Yeah, that's
That's what it was, but I knew about this.
Well, that could not be more different.
That's what I'm saying. He convolutes his business. He's too much. Anyway.
I don't know. I feel I'm siding with Bon Jovi on this one. But I want to get back to Adam being the head of the percussion department in junior high. Is that right?
Yeah. Percussion section.
Percussion set.
And they're all gunning for me, Dave. And one time I said, last time I checked, I'm still the head of the section.
Whoa.
I used to always repeat that. Like, and once in a while, like Noah Decker, there's like a couple guys on Facebook, they'll write on my wall or whatever, happy birthday, you're still head of the section.
You'll always have that.
Yeah. Not I pushed a couple kids into like drum sets and stuff. Yeah, I mean, I was territorial. You know?
You pushed them into drum sets?
Pushed a couple kids into drums. They were a lot smaller than me, but I pushed them.
There's no coming back from that. Once you fall into a drum set, as a guy who's done it many times, there's no coming back from that.
I threw a maraca at a kid, hit him in the head. I didn't mess around. As the head of the section, I was pretty badass.
Yeah, you ruled with an iron... Guero. Was that what those called? The percussions instruments?
Is it the like wooden block kind of things?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah. No, where did you grow up?
Yeah, Manchester, New Hampshire.
Manchester, a world away from
Hoboken.
Did you get back up to Manchester often?
Yeah, I mean not since COVID.
Not since COVID,
so,
yeah.
So it's tough, yeah.
I not to totally change gears, but you are known as a master storyteller, of course. You've been teaching courses online for the Magnet Theater.
Yeah.
In New York. And you have an album out. Is it an album or it's an album? You ought to know Adam Wade on Audible, an Audible exclusive.
Yeah, it's almost like an audio book, but it's like both in the studio and live.
Oh wow. And it's massively popular.
It's continuing to do well, thankfully. And if you go to audible.com/Adam Wade, I mean they built me a page, so they did a good job.
That's excellent.
Job. Yeah, they gave me a good I love you, Audible. Thank you.
Yeah, they're I'm seeing them right here. A lot of heat on this page.
They made me look good. They took nice photos and stuff. I made those in like business cards. I'm not sure if I was allowed to do that, but I did.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. What are they going to do? What the hell are they going to do?
Now?
Man, oh man. So what's been your average day? You're out there. You're in Hoboken.
So for about a half hour, and I talked to Chris about this in the past as far as... doing aerobics, I was doing Sweating to the Oldies and stuff like that.
Chris, join us. Chris, you had some questions about that, I believe. I was talking to Chris earlier today.
Something new right here. I don't know if you can see it. So this is like the Peloton craze. So this is a
Peloton. That's like the bike that the attractive woman gets to make herself even more attractive for her husband.
So this it's very isn't heavy. The commercial? So I'm having a might be a little winded, but it's actually I got this on an athletic .com site, and it's like a bike without like a wheels. It's got pedals.
It's a bike with none of the fun of a bike.
Yeah, you just put it on the floor, and like while you're watching TV, you could just ride it. Like, it works. Like, yeah. So I ride that for about a half hour every day. I hope I'm doing it right.
While you're watching TV?
While I'm watching TV. Or listening to like audio books or music.
Like listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be a great album to listen to.
Yeah.
While and you're that, doing that.
Then, Chris, I highly recommend. I know you're looking for different things. I know you're watching Ty Bo tapes.
Yeah, a lot of Ty Bo.
Chris, this was $40, and I don't know how much it's helped, but I've done enough working out that I've paid back the $40. You know what I mean? Wow.
$40.
Yeah, $40.
Are you still doing the Sweating to the Oldies?
Twice a week.
We have a call, a Zoom call.
Oh, okay.
Let's grab it here. All the way.
It's actually Sweating to the Oldies too, Chris.
That was my follow-up question.
The first Sweating to the Oldies was flawed.
Yeah, you can't get it on YouTube for free.
You can't?
I don't believe so.
I found the second one.
Second one, right? Yeah.
The second one opens with a really bizarre skit.
Wait, we have Stephen Radford.
Does it end when he's making out with the woman, the waitress?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one I watch.
What's going on?
Oh, there he is, Stephen Radford, sideways.
Hey, how's it going?
From England.
Wow, it's late England right now.
He is sideways. I believe he's making himself sideways so as to appear upright, which I respect.
This is not good.
Are you there, Stephen?
Can you hear me?
You're in Manchester. You've moved from Manchester, England.
Moved from Manchester. Am I still sideways?
No, you're right ways up.
Oh, probably. Good. Good. Yes, I'm in Lincolnshire now.
Lincolnshire.
Yeah, which is on the other side of the coast. I did a Wade Snook. I moved from one side to the other.
Wade Snook, a reference to another troubled man.
No troubled man. How are you all doing?
Is it 3 in the morning there?
Near enough too. Yeah, about 5 to 3.
Oh well,
I respect that.
Witching hour.
Are you naturally up at this time, or did you set the alarm for this magical?
I had to set the alarm. Yeah, I had the. Luckily, my son was already awake anyway. He was wandering around sleepwalking. So,
wow, your son sleepwalks.
He does. Yeah, he's a classic walker. He'll just walk around, come into your room, stare at you, go back into bed. That's it. So,
how old is your son?
He's coming up to 6 in December, so.
Oh, that's some prime sleepwalking years.
We've gotten used to it now, but it was right on schedule, though, so 10 to 2, just before your show started, so I'm up.
Wow. Now, will you be up for the rest of the day?
No. Definitely be out within the next hour or so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I see Adam Wade. The kind of
Steven.
Nice to see you, Adam.
Yeah. Nice to see you too.
Yeah, but this guy's setting his alarm to catch you tonight, Adam.
I felt a lot of pressure coming on, and now I feel even more in a good way.
Steven,
yeah.
Paint us a picture with words. What's the scene like there in Lincolnshire?
It's a very windy. It's kind of like Iowa, I think. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's a very flat country. It's a little bit like the Netherlands if you've been over there. So it's
sure.
Yeah, it's nice. It's flat. It's a lot safer than Manchester, definitely.
What now? What do you mean by that?
Well, yeah, let's say that the kind of news would be crime blotter news. It's a little bit easier going.
Manchester, it's rough. It's rough in Manchester.
It can be. It can get a little bit tough. Yeah, yeah. We were kind of itching to leave. Because, well, one of the reasons, so for the safety of the boys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy town to live
the
in.
Main
but,
streets of
yeah.
Of Manchester. I always get, I'm easily, because I find, you know, that if anyone disagrees, tell me this, but that I find just the British accent is so charming that you just never see the attack coming. It's too late. Because by the time trouble has reared its ugly head.
Do you have the time?
Yeah.
It's usually the time check that gets you.
Yeah. And then they, though I've learned to just stay off, you know, come a certain hour in England, you just have to get off the streets because everyone's drunk.
Very true. Yeah.
By about after 4:30 in the afternoon, you have to just get indoors.
Clear the streets.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the seasons like now there, Stephen? Is it like, but is it you getting snow and stuff, or is it like cold or?
It's just kind of, yeah, it's just a lot of leaves, a lot of wind, and a lot of rain. So, but not as much as it was in Manchester. Manchester was raining pretty much all the time. So we get some fair weather. It's a little bit warm, you know, around about 58 Celsius. Not to sound like a David Lynch weather report. But.
58 Celsius. Oh, now I'm going to be up all night. What could that possibly be? Chris, run a check on that. What's 58 Celsius?
Oh, 58, did I say 58 Celsius? I mean, that's just Fahrenheit. 58 Celsius.
Oh, jeez.
58 Celsius would be like...
I was attempting to do Fahrenheit, and I really shouldn't have.
Yeah, 58 degrees Celsius, that'd be quite hot, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
I'm not a detective.
That would kind of be roasting. I would probably be melting.
Degrees.
Do you have any questions for the Pride of Hoboken, Adam Wade, Stephen?
Yeah, well, I'm actually all behind the summit, but I'm just interested about his storytelling and what it is that he actually does to kind of promote good storytelling. Because I hear he's got an audio book. Is it audio bestseller?
Oh yeah,
it is an audio bestseller.
Tell us about this.
It's
going on.
Almost 10,000 ratings on Audible.
It's kind of like my life story of how I when I was like little, I dreamed of coming to New York City and making it in something. Mm. And against having asthma very bad.
And, wait, you overcame asthma?
Yeah, okay. I have what they call baby lungs. I have like the lungs the size of a baby.
Currently?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're small.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So.
What are some of the hurdles of life?
With the baby lungs?
Yeah, like what?
You can't run for a long time. When you exercise, you're gonna just sweat into the oldies.
And you sweat, and you have the little
bike,
the not that fun bike.
Yeah, no.
So you couldn't do a marathon.
No, I couldn't.
There's no such thing as running for fun.
Yeah, no.
Oh
but
man.
Yeah, but that was a good question. Yeah, so yeah, with the baby lungs, I mean, I've gotten, I could still do things and stuff. So I moved to New York, and then. Yeah, it's my struggles here in New York. So like struggles growing up trying to attract women. And then,
But I that you've overcome that.
Yeah. Yeah, now I mean I'm very with the horse in the globe behind me, as you can tell, I'm kind of a worldly guy.
Oh yeah. I mean that the horse and the globe do the heavy lifting. Where are these not COVID times? You have someone special over to the apartment. They see the horse and the globe, and
you're a keeper.
Your work is done.
Just keep saying that, because if you keep saying it, Dave, people might.
It's true. If you say something enough, now more than ever, yeah. If you say something enough times, clear, as we learn the hard way over and over, if you say it enough times, a certain segment of people will believe it.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that if you walk into Adam Wade's apartment and you see that horse in the globe, you will be rendered powerless to his charms. There's no turning back. Just start thinking about what you want for breakfast. That's all I can tell you. I hope you like meatballs.
Hope you like meatballs. Meatballs and eggs.
Oh, together at last.
Yeah.
Man, oh man.
Yeah.
Now, Stephen Radford, while we've got you here, you have a book out yourself.
Oh.
I do. That's why I was kind of interested in promoting storytelling. I mean, that's why I wanted to ask you. Do you actually delve into the kind of structure of storytelling, or are you just kind of like promoting the actual idea of telling stories more?
Yeah, in my classes and stuff, I mean, I teach, I enjoy teaching a lot because it's getting to know people, and from different places. I actually have a few people in England now taking my classes.
Oh, great.
Which is one great thing about COVID is I've been teaching for like 10 years. I still love teaching people in the New York area, but it's great to get people from all around. And it's just, I really try to just focus on talking about things that you care about and also enjoy talking about, and focus on like moments of your lives and trying to put it together like that, as opposed to like, it needs to have this type of arc. If you want a story, it needs to have this type of arc, and this is how you do it. It's more about trying to find what you want to talk about and what you enjoy. Cause I think if you're passionate about things, talking about things that you're passionate about, most likely, if you care about it, Stephen, and just talking to you now, about
then other people will relate, and
So I really try to work on that. It's more about connecting to people, and in my stories, it's the same type of thing. So just trying to find relatable things. It's good to have questions. Dave knows. With Dave's book, I want to do a plug for Dave as well. When we met, we talked about the prisons when you did stand up at the prison, and I had so many questions, and it was, so just like those types of things,
it opens it up. And if you, and he's got three good ones there, haven't you, Dave?
Oh, stop. Thank you.
Three hits.
But Adam, you bring up, that's interesting. I think that's so true about your storytelling, is it's so engaging and you connect so well with the audience in a way that a lot of times when I see specifically story, if you're like a storytelling show, there's some storytellers you can see getting caught up in that, like what you're talking about, the things like you have to have the arc and the gotcha and this and that and like the
the Robert McKee kind of
that sort of thing, when someone spins around and be like, I never expected to be fighting a panda or whatever, the gotcha sentence. But and what I love about you, Adam, is you don't, you like, I feel when you're on stage, the whole audience can just relate to you right away as a human, and you've got them.
Yeah.
And that's why you destroy the other storytellers. Not that it's competition.
Storytelling is a learned skill, though. I think the more you tell stories vocally, especially. I mean, my uncle was a newsreader, but he was incredible at anecdotes and incredible actually.
A newsreader, like a presenter, as you call them over there,
he was a news anchor. He was literally a regional news anchor for. Hang on. news anchor for the Carlisle region of the Northwest. And, you know, he actually passed away last year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But he's, yeah, he was known and loved a lot of people in Scotland, but he had this way of talking, and it was a way of presenting story in a very digestible manner. And I think you have to kind of, you see, I'm not very good at it. I'm terrible at actually speaking. I mean, I actually tried to actually do an audio version, a preview of my book, and it's so difficult to actually sit there with a microphone and read and actually sound like you're engaging enough to actually make your story interesting.
But I got to go.
It's a difficult skill.
Your accent again, though.
I know. I agree.
That cool accent. You're already there.
It's in your head.
I'll give you my wallet.
It is in your head. Yeah.
Story,
it's a confidence thing. It's a confidence thing, definitely. But the more you do it, I guess the better you get at it. So, yeah.
Now, quickly, before I forget, your uncle, as a news anchor, did he speak in... do all news anchors speak in the same accent?
BBC. It's BBC Talk, yeah.
Yeah. No matter where you are. No matter where you are.
Here we are with the news. It's generally looking like a very good day today. Yeah, it was very... he had a very interesting cadence and lilt to his accent.
But then would he speak that way when he would be over your house just having dinner or something?
Sometimes.
Or would he turn it on and turn it off?
It's turning it on, turning it off, and it's you know that you have to have his attention. He wants your attention, so he'll use it then, you know, okay. So that you can totally be into it. So
I have a friend, my friend Andrew, who lives in London, but he's from, am I getting this right, Cockermouth? Maybe he's not from there. Maybe he's not from there, but he's from some north. And he has a very thick, to my ears anyway, a thick northern accent. But he was a television presenter, and he showed me a clip, and he spoke in a manner completely unrecognizable to the... No, just nothing like the Andrew that I know. He was speaking like... Yeah. It was like he was a different person.
I think that's kind of how you got to have that universality. And there's more regional accents in the news now than ever before. But before, you know, let's say 20, 30 years ago, I think you had to be very specific.
You know, I love all the British accents are great, though. No matter what it is, it just sounds smarter than all of us.
No, you guys, I think the American accent is very much a thing that you like to be able to speak clearly. So the words are very rounded. You don't drawl as much as other accents. You know, there's a lot of more emphasis on word sounds, I think, in America, generally speaking.
What I like about the various British accents is the fact that so many words get lost that I just have a sense of what someone's saying and a sense. And I think, do you find that, Adam? There's, I have friends in the UK where I only understand maybe about half of what they say. And I'm like, that half sounds good. I'm just going to trust the rest of it's okay.
Yeah. It's a trust. I was going to say, it's the trust. if you try, like, yeah, no, I trust you. I don't know. Yeah.
You think, well, they're not slipping some, you know, horrible stuff in the other 50%. I'm just going to trust that it's all right.
Yeah.
That's what we've learned.
Yeah.
Well, going back to what you were just saying, it's all goes back to, you know, what you were just saying. Well, Stephen, thank you so much for zooming in.
Is it time for my song now?
If you have a song, we'll hear it.
Definitely not.
And no. Stephen, if you ever want me to help you with the audio books, you have a complimentary session with Adam Wade. Happy to help you.
Oh, that would be incredible. That would definitely be a major boost. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Whatever I can do to help you.
Be learning from the king.
You'll be doing all the books after this. You know, you'll be running in there, grabbing the mic and taking charge.
That's the way. Yeah, I mean, doing podcasts is different. I mean, when you're working with other people, communicating and having conversation, it's so much easier. But sitting there on your own, looking at text and actually reading it, yeah, it's.
I will my agree mind goes with all that. Over the place. The audiobooks of mine that I've done have been. I shouldn't say this out loud because it makes it sound like I don't want to do it again. Because I certainly would. But it's hard, and you realize
it is
hard. When you're reading, you know, because you write differently than you speak, and you see these sentences that just go on and on,
even worse than I go on and on. Falling over words, falling over.
Oh. Like,
yeah.
It's hard. And then you drink coffee the whole time, which is the worst thing you can do.
Oh, I get so irate.
To speak, because it dries out your mouth, and then it just creates more problems. Anyway.
I should get going anyway, because I'm taking a lot of time from
We're enraged. Well, thank you. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you very much.
And please take Adam on his offer.
I mean, I don't throw that out to just anybody. So happy to help you, Stephen.
I'll add you on the Twitter and the thing, and we'll touch base. Will be
Make
nice.
It so.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Excellent. And Stephen, will you remind us what the title of your book?
Yeah, absolutely. It's called Semblance Anon. It's co-written with a friend of mine from Georgia, Savannah's Georgia. So we both wrote the book together. It's a science fiction book, but very much grounded in reality.
So. And people can follow you on Instagram, I believe, at Stephen P. Radford. Am I right?
That's correct. Yeah.
I'm on pills. And you can learn more about the book Semblance Anon there.
Stephen P. Radford,
I don't have any of this in front of me. It's just coming, it's just pouring out of me slowly.
I would have the book in front of me, but I just have coloring books here, so
that's
no
close
good.
Enough.
I can't even promote my own book right now, so. But I'll see you all later. Okay?
Thank you, Stephen.
Yeah, great talking with you, Stephen.
Right. Bye bye.
Have a great. I don't know what to say. Have a great night or great morning.
Yeah.
Either way. Well, thank you for setting your alarm. We're honored.
Oh, anytime. I'll do it anytime, man. No worries.
Yes, please. Give us that international flair.
You're going to have to quit me. I can't quit.
Oh, no. Oh, boy. There he's gone. The number is 347-474-0260 if you'd like to call in. Or you could Zoom in using the Zoom link there in the description of the YouTube video. Dez, Chris, how are you guys doing?
Fantastic. No Bill Dolan, though.
No, where's Bill Dolan? The other...
Got to him, sent him the link and everything, but nothing.
Nothing.
Radio silence. Well, we know who the new... Maybe he was offended that I kept referring to Adam Wade as the pride of Hoboken.
Took it as a shot, so to speak.
Yeah.
But I
hey,
say
there's
it.
Room. There's room for two. There's room for
Yeah, there's
two.
Room for two at the top.
It's a big little town.
Yeah. Man, oh man! So, Adam, are there future classes that people can sign up for that you're teaching online?
Yeah, there's one starting December 1st, I believe, Tuesday, December 1st. So, if you go to adamwade.com, right to classes, it's right there.
It's coming
fast. If you
have
any questions, just send me my contact info is right on there. Just ask me any questions.
Excellent.
But it's a lot of fun. It's good. It's keeping me going in a lot of ways. Just a lot of nice people. Like, jerks don't take those classes. I mean it. Like, just like really nice people. And it's been great with the one positive thing with COVID is you know, getting people from like Singapore and you know, Mexico, Costa Rica.
Oh, Toronto. Wow.
We're getting a lot of different people from different places. And it's
That's
just
wild.
Nice. Yeah, it's really, and they get it. It's just like fun. I mean, like what I was saying to Stephen, just talk about things. They work on little story ideas. We put them together and just workshop them. It's fun. It's I get a lot out of them.
So do you do, are they, is it an ongoing class or do you do like a one day workshop type
thing? Yeah, that one's a 6 week one. And then at the beginning of the year, I'll start doing, I do a free one nighter. So I'll go back to doing those after the holidays.
Nice. You don't stop.
I don't stop.
You're the busiest man in storytelling.
I enjoy it though. Yeah, it's a good, yeah.
Do you do a lot of Zoom storytelling shows?
A couple of shows. I got one Thursday with the Magnet at 8:30. It's on Magnet Theater, which is at twitch.tv/TheMagnetTheater. It's called Nights of Our Lives. And I do that mm-hmm. one like usually once a month. And then we just have a lot of class shows. I just do a lot of the class shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Yeah, I feel like the storytelling actually translates really well to the Zoom format. It feels more confessional, like someone's just talking directly to you. It's not as much of a difference between like stand-up comedy on Zoom, where it's just like you're not getting any kind of response, but that's what, you know, is driving you.
Yeah.
You know? But I've been really enjoying like the Risk storytelling shows on Zoom, because it's just been so like you almost feel like you're on a call with someone and they're just like telling you these crazy stories.
I agree. Yeah. Risk's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sometimes very sexually charged.
Yeah.
In my experience,
I've been on Risk a couple of times, but mine are it's like I just don't have. I can't really, you know.
I want to see you go toe-to-toe with Kevin Allison.
Yeah.
And out. Make his story seem tame by comparison.
I'm not good at that.
That'd be hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mean to bring up the horse and the globe. I don't mean to drag them into it again, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
On the other side
Maybe I'll start taking some notes.
Oh. I mean, I'm saying on the other side of COVID.
That's my mom. But just let me just.
Your mom's?
Hi, my. I'm on a call. Can I call you back in like 10 minutes?
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, we should have talked to her.
This would have been.
She's having a lot of difficulty. I don't want to put her on the spot. She is having a tough time getting a on an email. Attachments onto emails. So,
I thought you were gonna like a medical issue or something.
No, it's the attachments. She's having a tough time, and I felt bad. I was cooking my Trader Joe's chicken parm when she called, and I'm like, "Ma, like I love you. I gotta help you, but I gotta." It's like the chicken's been in there for 40. If I put in it, it's gonna be like it's dry to the bone.
You had an all hands on deck situation. Yeah. Couldn't be messing.
And then I had to focus for this. You know what I mean? It's like, sometimes, you know, you might laugh at this, but sometimes it's not easy being Adam Wade. I mean, I got a lot going on.
Oh, I believe
that.
I got my mom
with attachments. I got Dave Hill, one of the greatest shows ever. I'm going to be on. I mean, I got a lot of pressure.
Yeah, this is,
pressure.
You can't just, you know, mom's going to have to wait. Just gonna, you know.
I mean, the attachment. Like, I mean, in all seriousness, like, Dave's important right now. Dave's my focus.
Yeah, you worry about the attachments later. I want to read this message that I got. I think it bears repeating. Danny D, the pride of Rahway, New Jersey, arguably. This is a callback, I would argue. He says, baby lungs, what you have, Adam. Baby Lungs sounds like a band you would see play at a bar called The Horse and the Globe. So like a British pub, as it were. This would have been a good check with Stephen Radford. I like it. We should form a band called Baby Lungs.
I'd love that.
I need to form another band. Baby, up next, Baby Lungs. Stick around. For Baby Lungs. After this hour and a half long DJ set, Baby Lungs will be up.
Yeah. I think people would stick around.
Yeah.
Play a little guitar, I'll tell a little story over the guitar.
Oh, I would love that.
That'd be, yeah.
That's like a license to print money.
I think so. Hill and Wade, our baby
ones. Hill and Wade. Yeah, we could, you know, we could start off slow. We play at the Horse and the Globe just for open bar tab.
It's a.
I'll
play for peppermint tea. I'll play for peppermint tea.
Peppermint tea. Peppermint tea. That does sound kind of nice.
Yeah. This time of the year, it's good for my nasal passage.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got to keep those.
Try that.
You got to keep those lubed up.
It's like
lubed
a menthol
up.
Type thing. Yeah, it's like a menthol.
Oh, yeah. You get that mint going?
And it's good for your stomach, too.
They don't do a peppermint coffee, do they?
No. I would have that, though.
Don't they do like a minty coffee? Yeah, or am I wrong?
Powder that they sort of
like the. They like do like the shots.
Oof, I don't know.
I don't like those things.
I don't know if that would work. Yeah.
I did. I got a coffee in Evanston, Illinois. One of the last, I think it was the last quote unquote road gig I did that I can, I think, before COVID. No, I stand corrected. I did do more after that. But it was one of the, because I think it was in March. It was in Evanston, Illinois. My friend Jason Narduzzi took me to this coffee shop in town. And I ordered this coffee, and they gave it to me. And I could see, like, some green leaf. And I was like, "What? Why is there a leaf in my coffee?" And they said, "Oh, we put, like, a mint leaf in it."
They should have asked you before, though.
There was no
something
asking.
Like that. You gotta ask.
It was one of those places where they know more than you do. Like you can't have it your way. You're getting it their way.
No, I had that happen with cucumber water.
Cucumber water.
Very upsetting.
That's pretty good, though.
Ooh, I do like a nice cucumber water.
You're not ready for it. It's going to change your...
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's expectation, Des. It's expectation. If I want water, I want water. If I want cucumber water...
I'll try it. Let me know. That's
yeah,
all.
Yeah.
You know. Do you ever take a swig of a beer at, like, a party? This happened to me, like, when I was, like, much younger, but take a swig of a beer and then realize that there's, like, cigarette butts in it.
Oh, yeah.
We've all been there.
Oh yeah, I've done that, mm-hmm. And I'll do it again. I intend to.
That's a cigarette, though.
What's that?
I'd only be upset about it if it was somebody else's. Like I've done that to
your own
cigarette and beer. You know, it's late sometimes.
I'll tell you, I had a disgusting. This is reminding me of, I was in London, and it's not key to the story. That I was in London, but people were setting their pints down on this table, and this one guy was a smoker, and he had been, smoking as smokers do. And I grabbed his beer by accident and took a sip, and it tasted like cigarettes. Just because I was really horrified by that, and I'm still not sure I bounced back from it. And it was,
see, I got like a thing. Like in college, when they'd have like all the plastic cups, I would take my cup because I didn't want people to do that. So I would bite like half of my cup. That's Wade's cup. I go, yeah, that's my cup. Don't mess with it.
See, this is like an otter
or whatever. I just go and I put it down.
I like this.
It looked disgusting. I mean, it probably did not help me with the ladies when I was like talking to them, and this thing is mangled. But
that's where the globe and the horse do the heavy lifting.
I remember one time, because a couple girls like mentioned it, and like two beers in, I said, I can't help it. She's like, why are you chewing that? I go, I can't help it if I have character. that wasn't a Horse and Globe night, but hey, let her know.
I think that's a good euphemism we can use now. It's a real Horse and Globe kind of night, and everyone will know what happened. We only have a minute left, so we should work. Where can people go to? They can go to magnettheater.net.
.com or Adam Dot, Lee. Go to adamlee.com.
Go to,
I worked on that website. If I could get a hit, it'd be great.
Oh, let's get some hits over there. AdamWay.com to find out where
just you put can that take in the chat class. There.
Yeah. And
yeah, you guys are awesome. You made my week, so thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you made our week. And everyone also check out Adam's audiobook, You Ought to Know Adam Wade. It has 10,000 stars. No, it's a huge hit on Audible, and everyone should go.
And it's free if you have an Audible membership right now.
It's free.
It's free. It's free. So it's like you
get on it.
Dying to heaven.
Yeah.
Globe and pony and Wade and baby lungs.
So everyone. Go check out those things. Adam, thank you so much.
Have a great
for
night.
Joining us. Please come back. And
absolutely.
Thanks, Chris and Dez, and thanks everyone for joining us live, and thanks everyone listening in the futuristic podcast format later this week.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. I'm practicing my different
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.